I'll be reading from Psalm 27. I feel like I ought to sing this psalm, but I'll refrain. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and seek him in his temple. For the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, and set me high upon the rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will seek the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord.
Jesus' sorrow for Jerusalem. At some time, Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox, I will keep driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
When I was a kid, I shared a bedroom with my two brothers. In our room, there was a double bed and a single bed with an aisle in between. When left to our nighttime devices, we were typical of three boys in a room with our share of shenanigans and tomfoolery, and we did, of course. Our country farmhouse had no street lights. There was no pole light with a soft glow coming through the window to usher us towards slumber. There was no pole light. There was no glowing dials on a clock or a radio. At night, when darkness settled in and the moon cycle was against us, and I don't think night lights had yet been invented, when my dad said, "Lights out," it became pitch dark. Pitch dark in our room. And it was then that the world of childhood imaginations kicked in, of night creatures. And sure, you could laugh it up about monsters under the bed when the lights were on, but when the lights went out, not so funny. One night, in the middle of the night, in my sleep, I happened to roll out of bed onto the bare planked floor. Now, I don't know if they keep Guinness Book of World Records on such things as elapsed time between leaping from floor to bed, but I was in contention. It was instantaneous, leaping back under the safety of my covers, my shelter. Psalm 27 begins, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" which is a verse better read with the lights on. And I did check under the bed the next morning and saw nothing but a few dust balls and a dirty sock. And that seemed to be okay for then. And I'm pretty sure that Psalm 27 is not so much about the fears that surround a kid falling out of bed in the dark, at least not only, but it's worse than that in this scripture lesson. Now, the Psalms, as we know, are heavy on the side of imagery, so there's that. And so who knows what it might be that evildoers are doing, what evildoers do that seems to devour the flesh. But whatever it is, it seems to take a long time, like an army of evil is camping out, verse 3, camping out, breathing out lies that crush, verse 12, and whatever it is that can awfully come awfully close to home, so close, like parents rejecting their children, verse 10. All of these are much worse than falling out of bed at night. Evil close by, evil telling lies, parents rejecting their children, which are bigger evils to manage than dust balls and dirty socks. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And that's the question, isn't it? Whom shall I fear? I remember the summer day that I went for a walk by myself on Connie's family farm, and as I traipsed through the rather dense patch of woods, I happened upon a ruffed grouse. Now, the ruffed grouse happens to be our state bird, and I'd seen plenty of them before, usually when they suddenly take flight and scare the wits and are quickly gone. But this one was different. This one acted as if it was injured, flopping on the ground like it had its wing broken, and it was quite convincing. It was a show. And as I looked around, I saw a dozen little chicks scurrying off about in every direction, which was a ploy, come to find out, the mother hen grouse playing injured to distract me away from its chicks. And later on, when I was telling all this to Connie's dad, he laughed and he said, and I'll bet it wasn't long before all of those chicks disappeared. Those peeps, he said, will pick up a leaf with their little beaks and turn it and place it over their back to hide, to shelter themselves from you, the shelter of one thin leaf. When we heard the psalm reading this morning, did you happen to notice what the shelter was? The temple is mentioned, but also a tent. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. Is one any better off under a tent than a little grouse under a leaf? Emily was a young woman on our Palestine trek, and she was not too keen on the idea of a tent stayover. Canvas overhead, tarps on the side, wide open spaces on the long side all night long. She did not sleep a wink, she said, in the morning. There was the rooster who had no clock, the barking dogs answering other barking dogs on the other mountainside and their echoes, and also the six snorers who were each snoring a different pitch in that tent. But none of this was why she pulled the big Bedouin blanket up under her chin all night. Spiders, she said. Spiders are why I stayed up all night in my blanket, under the tent, in my shelter. It might be worth a point to ponder to ask where I am the safest. Is it under a leaf? Is it under the thin open air canopy with no sides? In a tent or a house? And how thick must those walls be in that house? Must they be soundproof? Must they be burglar-proof? How many locks will do? Would a holy stone temple be a place of safety? Would a bunker be better to keep my afraids locked outside away from me? Or maybe it would be not so much where to be safe, but who to be safe. Who is my safe shelter? And this be why parents can become so important, to know that dust balls might scare me a little when it's dark, but that mom and dad are in the room next to me, and that is something. And what happens when you don't have someone anymore? When your family is no longer there to take you in? What is your holy place when your church is no longer safe? When your shelter is not only a where, but a who? Who is my shelter? If you were asked to draw a picture of Jesus, what would you draw? If you had colored pencils or chalk or paints in your hand and you had a large white canvas in front of you, if you had a chance to draw Jesus somehow, some way, what would you create? What would you draw? What's your very first Jesus impression? It'll be a blue-eyed shepherd holding a staff. Would that be comforting, rod and staff? Would you draw a lion like Aslan of Narnia? Would you take the browns from your palette with a brush and paint a lion's head, a strong lion, a Jesus lion? Would you point that? And what would the Jesus lion mean? Strength? Defense? Your cosmic safety? In your picture, on your easel, would Jesus become a loaf of bread? I am the bread of life. Would you fashion a cup of wine, a way of painting Jesus that gladdens my heart? So yeah, if you're going to be putting Jesus on a canvas, what would you do? Would it be a door, a gate, a light, a bridegroom? What would you paint? Would you draw a chicken? Would you fancy painting Jesus as a chicken? And if so, what colors would you use? Would it be black or white or green or orange or blue? What posture would you pose your Jesus chicken in? If it occurred to you to paint Jesus as a chicken, you might have been reading today's scripture lesson from Luke, for it is Jesus who refers to himself as one, as a hen. Now, in the Bible, the Pharisees can be a most confusing bunch. Sometimes they're the bad guys, trying to catch Jesus in the middle of a Sabbath faux pas and conjuring up devious reasons to eliminate him for good. But in this picture from Luke, some Pharisees are playing the good guy. They warn Jesus to get out of town, for he is in great danger, for Herod wants to kill him. Herod wants to rub him out. But Jesus, in effect, blows on by the Herod threat, like Herod is not the big shot that he thinks he is. Tell that fox, I must be on my way, he said. And it makes you wonder what is up with Jesus, where his confidence comes from. For he can smell danger in the air. He knows that Herod took down his cousin. He knows good prophets get stoned in holy cities. He knows. But, and then with the chicken, and what a mother hen does when she is at her best. When a danger threatens and she pushes her breast towards the danger, spreads her wings like a canopy and makes a safe place for her little ones to shelter them and to protect them, to save them. So here we are, left with Jesus' words, I'm here, I am safe, I am sheltering, I nurture you, I care for you. And some were willing to come close, and some turned away. And maybe that is still the million-dollar question for us, during Lent especially, and also the days beyond, when our broken dreams make teardrops come to the corner of our eyes, when missed chances haunt us, when our failed efforts mock us into the nighttime hours, when we finally get to the point where we realize that we have shortcomings too, that we are not perfect, that we have needs, that we do not really stand in a much different spot than those people in Luke's mother hen scene, struggling to stand at the point of our admitting, thinking that maybe God is more of the strong monster under my bed than a winged canopy for safekeeping. Yeah, it might be a little corny to draw Jesus as a chicken hen, for if you've been around them, you know they are not glamorous, they are not regal, what with their beady eyes and bobbing heads and clucking noises, scratching around in the dirt as they are wont to do. But for some reason, a hen with chicks has a redeeming quality about her, one that Jesus claimed for himself of a shelter, which is not a bad image for Jesus or for his church.
Hear again the words of Psalm 27, verses 7 to 9. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Who will the Lord seek today? I'm sorry, who will seek the Lord today?
So first, let me just say, with my Bell's palsy, I don't put this on the same level as significant illnesses or diseases that people in this congregation and in the world are dealing with. So I'm not trying to say that at all. However, I do have some lessons that I'm learning through this and that I'm willing to confess to all of you today. So I just wanted to start with that. So this is an illness referral. I see about 30 of these a day. I'm a school nurse. And so for kids to get a pass to come to the health office, they have this illness referral that the teacher completes. This is the first time in my life that I've needed an illness referral. I've been very lucky and very healthy and have just had normal things. But one Tuesday morning, I woke up with the right side of my face not working. And as a nurse, I knew what that was, right? So I said to Rodney, we got to go to the doctor. And so my confession is that for the first 3 days, I did all the nurse things, right? I went to the doctor. I took the medicines that may or may not help, but I did what I needed to do. I did research to find out what, if any, exercises I can do to help speed the process and what I need to do, right? But it was 3 days before it occurred to me, hey, I need to name this to the Lord. I need to say to God, hey, dude, help me out here. So, you know, that wasn't my first go-to. And so I have to confess that to God and to all of you that that wasn't my first impulse to ask for healing from God. I have found that, like Peter, when I take my eyes off Jesus, I do start to sink. I have had days where I felt sorry for myself. And I have to admit that, too. The other thing is, somehow, as being a nurse, I always thought, oh, I would be very patient in affliction. Now, why I would think that, because you all know I'm not patient. So why I thought that somehow in this instance that I would have patience, but I do not. However, all of you and my saint of a husband helped me to be patient and to see improvement, because on this side of it, I don't see the improvement. And so I need the community to help me see improvement, because it does get annoying. And again, this is a minor affliction. I'm not putting that, with serious illness, but it is annoying, and I'm not patient. And so When others can speak that into my heart, that's very helpful. So I thank all of you for your prayers and your patience with me. And so that's what I bring today.